The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If happiness is a destination, you're never going to be happy. I think happiness is a direction. It's also important to identify what unhappiness is to you. Why do you feel like you are not happy?
Hey, besties. Welcome back to another episode of I Missed Me. Today, I have Nyla Nazer with me today. She is the host of Untempered, and Untempered is a podcast curated around deep conversations, self-development, self-love, and self-growth, which we love. And she has created a safe space for people to be vulnerable, which we love. So thank you so much for being with me today. I am so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's nice to meet you.
How are you feeling today? How's your heart?
I'm good. My heart is good. I'm dealing with a lot of jet lag because I came from Dubai, but
I can't believe how long
it's been. Like 7 days that I've been feeling like this. So I don't know if it's age or it's just like normal that everyone feels
when was
like
your
this.
Last time in LA?
I think it was 2.5 years ago. And then before that, I used to live here. I lived here for 15 years. Okay. And then, yeah, so before that, it was my home. Mm. I kind of packed up my stuff and all kind of like dedicated myself to escapism one day. And I was like, I'm just going to leave. I definitely miss it. My heart belongs in California. So I named my daughter California.
Her name is California?
Yeah.
I love that.
Do you like
it? I love it.
Yeah, it's like a part of me just always has been in this state. Like my heart's always going to be here no matter how much I want to escape or change it up.
Yeah.
I'm always going to find myself coming back.
Do you call her like Callie or something?
Callie.
Oh, yeah, her name's Callie. What? I've never heard that. It's so cute.
Thank you.
So I read your story. I listened to your podcast and you escaped. You said you escaped or you left home when you were 16. Can you talk to me about that? How was that? Why?
Actually, it wasn't even my choice. It was my mom. And she basically, I've had a really tough childhood in a way where my parents struggled. They had their own trauma. They were different than anybody else's, so you say, like, quote unquote, normal parent. So she couldn't take care of me anymore. So I basically had to pack up my stuff and just basically leave. At 16.
Wow.
And had barely any money. I think I had $350 in my pocket. And she was just like, you know, you got to go, like, find out, you know, life and do your thing because I can't take care of you. Looking back at it now and listening back to my own story, if I used to always resent this event, I used to always struggle with, like, why did this happen to me? And then now I realize that if that didn't happen to me, I wouldn't be the person I am today looking at you.
Yeah.
Like sitting here in front of you, having the experiences I had. So as much as I wanted to resent it, it was actually, if I look at it in a positive way, it was a great advantage for me to design my own life.
And mature at such a young age and like understand what independence is like at 16. It's crazy.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think that everybody should throw out their kids at 16 years old.
No, yeah,
but
for
I definitely think that there is a way that we can program our minds to think differently about it, which I've had to do because granted, trust me, I haven't always thought about it in a positive way. I really did find like solace in like victimizing myself for a long time. And until I realized that I have the power to actually change the way I think about it, now I say, instead of saying like, I hate my mom for doing that to me, I say she was dealing with her own generational trauma.
Yeah.
She didn't know or have the tools to regulate her own life and emotions. And rather than being the victim, I was able to design my own life and sit here in front of you and write the script and basically make it whatever I can make it.
Mm. When did you find forgiveness for that?
Only recently, to be honest. Like I said, I definitely felt sorry for myself for a really long time, even though I had the strength to move on every day and survive.
I want to say that that's okay too.
Thank you. Yeah.
Like feeling sorry for yourself and feeling grace for yourself of like, I shouldn't have gone through that. Even if I forgive it, like, it doesn't mean that it's okay. Like, that is okay too.
Yeah, you're right. And I think it's exactly what you're saying is it's part of the process. Mm-hmm. You can't just, everything takes stages and levels. And I think that's kind of the beginning of feeling like really low and rock bottom. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, like, I think the whole story is a great example that survival and will and ambition comes from suffering. Mm-hmm. If I didn't have that experience, if I didn't suffer, I wouldn't have had the ambition I have today.
Yeah. Growth comes from pain. Yeah. Like it really, really does. So you are forced to, you know, be independent at 16. How did that help? And how is your relationship with loneliness now?
It was awful for the longest time. Again, I would say only recently I've been able to be alone. So here's the thing with loneliness. Anytime that you look at loneliness, you think this is a terrible thing. For me, I identified it with, because I always spent so much time by myself. I spent so much time lonely as a kid growing up. So I equaled that to abandonment, isolation, and fear, right? And as soon as I was starting to do the inner work and work on my inner child and go to therapy, it just seemed like all these people that know what they're talking about, like people who are like Tony Robbins, shamans, monks, life coaches, all these people kept saying, you need to be alone. And I'm like, that's really weird because it sounds like you're giving me double the poison, but telling me to heal.
Yeah.
And soon enough, I realized that there's only one way to grow, and it's to eliminate all the noise and the energy from the people that are around us. And that doesn't mean that these people are bad, but there's just so much going on. It's almost impossible to focus inward if you are looking at the news, looking at social media, surrounded by 100 friends with different energies, doing different things. It's impossible to focus inwards and be able to find your true self.
Yeah.
So until you find solitude and peace in being alone, you won't really be able to evolve.
Yeah.
So there is such a great, great, great positive thing that comes out of being lonely if you use it for the right reasons.
And I love that you separate those two, like solitude and loneliness, because they're two completely different things. I feel that loneliness is learning how to be by yourself, and then solitude is learning how to be with yourself, with our two completely different things. How did your process start, and what would be your best advice for someone who's struggling with being with themselves and feel like they're by themselves? Because I feel like society also pushes it a lot when you're a kid and they see the lonely kid, and they're like, oh, he's alone, he has no friends, like he's a weirdo, you know, like society kind of pushes you the fact, like, since you're little, that being alone is a bad thing. So you kind of have to like grow up and reconstruct, like, it's really not a bad thing. Like loneliness, you can't feel alone if you like the person that you're alone with and all of those things. But like those are things that only you can work on. So what helped you, and what is your biggest advice that you would like tell someone who's struggling with, you know, finding that solitude?
I would say go and do it, because the first thing I did was literally do that. I just, like, even recently now, even before that, when I first started, I would just like get an Airbnb somewhere, you know, like, I don't know, a little bit just kind of disconnected. Like I was in Topanga Canyon by myself for 3 days last week, and that was the best thing I've ever done, and I loved
it. By yourself?
Literally by myself. Mm. And I wanted that. That's what I wanted. Like my friends were texting me, let's go to dinner, let's do this. But the reason I did that is because something about sitting and reading about self-help, or listening to a podcast, or even if you want to just watch a movie and disconnect and just being by yourself and waking up and making your bed and making your coffee, sitting outside watching. I was watching like the trees just ruffle and listening.
It's just so beautiful.
It's so beautiful. If you focus on the littlest things, like literally the drops of coffee going on the side of your mug, you literally start to eliminate all that noise. You start to enjoy the silence of your own brain. And then this is what opens up your neural pathways to grow. Mm-hmm. Then you can let in positive knowledge. Then you can let in your goals start to become more clear. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, I really want to do this. I started getting really good creative ideas. Mm-hmm. So I think do it. And if you struggle with, a lot of people give me this, they're like, I struggle with sitting by myself because my brain will not stop. And I think the best way to deal with that and tackle that is to get a book. Because when you're focusing on words, your brain can only do that. Mm-hmm. And then get a book where you can really immensely dive into. So what is it that you're working on? A book about self-confidence, a book about self-esteem, a book about relationships, marriage, whatever it is. Just get a book. And even if you say, oh, I can't get a book, I have ADD. No, just literally, as soon as you disconnect, come back in. We can teach our brains to do mm-hmm. something that's unfamiliar.
And sometimes I feel like your brain not shutting up is a good thing too. Like, if you, like, and I've heard that a lot before where, like, people don't allow themselves to be alone because their brain won't shut up. Mm-hmm. But, like, sometimes your brain is trying to talk to you through the things that you have to heal. And because you're not allowing it to talk, then you just can't give yourself that space. Like, sitting in silence and your brain is, like, trying to talk to you about this situation or this, like, sit down and, like, organize your thoughts and be like, why am I thinking this? Like, why are you attacking me? Like, how can I organize these thoughts? You can't organize your thoughts until you don't allow, you know, yourself to think about
that.
Them.
I love so much that you said that because it's also so, so true. Like, our bodies and our brains are constantly giving us messages. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of whether we're going to listen or shut it down.
Yeah.
And I think that, for example, an example of shutting it down, when I was dealing with severe depression, major depressive disorder, and all this stuff, and everybody wanted to diagnose me with this, what really I should have been diagnosed with, the fact that I just couldn't be alone and I wasn't listening to my body. So as soon as I would feel sad, I would drink. Or as soon as, like, fixing things by, you know, chemically altering your brain was just a form of escapism and also a form of muting what your body was trying to tell you. As soon as I did what you're saying, which I love that you said that, it's like, let me just hear what my body's telling me. Why am I unhappy? What's going on? Oh, there's a fear. There's a sadness. Let me sit with that emotion, figure out what's the root of that emotion and how I can work on it.
Yeah, literally just, like, figure it out. And that's, like, super important because, like, we run away from the pain. But until we don't sit with the pain, we can't heal the pain. So it's just this constant cycle of, like, eventually you're going to have to, like, slow down and, like, sit down with, you know, yourself. So you are a skydiver.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to me because that is, I feel like that is the one thing I would never do is, like, skydive.
Really?
Yeah, I just have,
even
like,
if I tried to convince you.
Well, I would probably do it with you. It's just, like, I have this very big fear of, like, I'm so, like, to pain. To pain of, or like getting hurt. Like, I can't do tapping because it hurts my skin. Like, that's how sensitive I am to pain. So, like, just skydiving, I don't know.
Why is that?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Has that always been that way, or is it that more
recent? No. I don't even know the root of it because I when I was little, like, nothing happened to me. Maybe it's like past lives or something. I really don't know what it is, but I admire you so much for that because, like, that's crazy, that's insane. But it requires that, like, it gives you a lot of adrenaline, you know. And that's also an emotion that you can become addicted to, of like, there's people that are addicted to adrenaline. That it's that how you would say it is for you?
For me, it wasn't about adrenaline because I was afraid of heights and I was like, you know, I don't know if this I can curse, but, you know.
No, you can.
I was shitting myself. Yeah. Like, the first time I jumped was not even about, like, yeah, I'm, you know, I'm an adrenaline junkie. Like, actually, I was the opposite. I was in a state of severe fear of everything in my life. And I want to come back to you saying about the pain thing. And I think I was the same. It's like, I really was afraid of discomfort so much. It paralyzed me. And I don't know what happened. Yeah. What happened was, like, my mom broke my heart. She did something that was where I was trying to regain my relationship with her. And so I was coming from a rock bottom, broken heart, dealing with depression, substance abuse. And I basically just, something in my brain was like, I need to change the pattern that I'm living in right now or I'm going to die. And funnily enough, it just, like, it was the weirdest thing. It was like, I believe in signs. And I was like, let me just listen to the world. Let me listen to what I'm trying to say. It was literally like a radio advertisement on getting your license. Like, it was just random. And I was like, I'm going to do that. A part of it was also, I really wanted to get out of the ordinary. I was living with the same pattern of the same friends, doing the same things, eating the same restaurants, talking about the same things. I wanted to be extraordinary so bad. So it was more about self-confidence and me being able to know that I can get out of that pattern because it just felt like I was on a hamster wheel. The thrill and the adrenaline obviously comes with it. It's it's a package deal. In the beginning, that was the most thing I was uncomfortable with. The thrill wasn't a thrill. I was like I said, like, so afraid. It was so scary. But the second that I knew that I can land by myself and that I could actually do something so insane, you could never tell in my inner child that that's what she was going to do when she was older. It was like, oh my God, wait, I'm capable of doing so much more than I give myself credit for.
Mm-hmm. So do you think it was a way of proving to your mom or to whoever it was, like, I can actually do things and they can be even greater than what I could have ever imagined, like even greater than what I could have ever imagined?
Yes.
You think it was more that?
Yeah. And I think it comes from, again, suffering. My mom never believed in me that I can do these things, and she wanted me to take certain paths that I didn't take. So it was proving a point, but it ended up being the best thing that's ever, I've ever done.
But let me just tell you something, and I know that this is going to help a lot of people, because your mom didn't break your heart. Like, your mom shaped your heart. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is a very beautiful way to, like, see heartbreak, because, like, nobody can break your, like, your heart doesn't actually break. And I know that I talk a lot about, like, heartbreak and stuff, but that's, the word that we use nowadays. But, like, your heart doesn't actually break. It just, like, shapes, you know? And, like, once you understand that, like, people shape your heart, is like, thank you, you know?
That's like, so sweet. Yeah. That's so true.
So,
yeah, the things that I heard from a life coach recently said, the things that have happened to you didn't happen to you, they happened for you.
Yeah.
And that's huge, because as soon as you take power of your own life and get out of the victim state, it's revolutionary. It's like your whole life changes, and it's all in your own hands. Mm-hmm. Nobody came and took away the victim state. You did.
Yeah, exactly. And they were actually helping you.
Yeah.
And because you didn't want to see it as help, you put yourself in this victim space of, like, everything is happening to me. But like, no, they were trying to, like, shape where you're actually meant to be, which is like a very beautiful way to see it, and also so much easier to be able to just forgive, you know?
Yeah.
So you become a mom.
Yeah.
How has that experience been for you?
Becoming a mom, I think so many people have so many different words for it, because there's so many beautiful things about motherhood. The most specific thing that I took away from it was, I think I would say I grew up a lot around having a wrong, warped version of what love is, because I saw my parents break up. I saw everybody break up. You know, I had really rough relationships and rough partnerships. When you have a kid, you really learn unconditional love.
Besties, this is for everyone that's looking to learn a new language. Whether you have an upcoming international trip or want to connect with friends and family or a new culture, Rosetta Stone is for you. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program available on desktop or as an app, and it truly immerses you in the language that you want to learn. Rosetta Stone has been the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages to offer, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, and so many more. And it immerses you in many, many ways. It has no English translations, which means that you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. And I also love that it has speech recognition. It has a built-in true accent feature, which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's literally like having a personal trainer for your accent. Besties, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. And for a very limited time, iMissedMe's listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. Again, besties, that's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. I love you, besties, and I can't wait for you guys to start learning a new language. Besties, when I first started podcasting, an online store was the furthest thing from my mind. Now I'm selling hoodies with positive messages on the back, and it is so easy, all just because of Shopify. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online store stage to the first real life store stage, and all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whenever you're selling. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Besties, I truly cannot recommend Shopify enough. You guys know that I have a business and it is hosted on Shopify. So besties, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/mafiansures, all lowercase, that shopify.com/mafiansures now, to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Again, besties, shopify.com/mafiansures. Thank you so much, Shopify, for sponsoring today's episode.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
That's what I've heard, and that's why I wanted to ask about it, because I'm not going to feel it until I have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But every single parent and my parents say, like, you're never going to understand the love that you can feel until you have a kid. Like, you just really can't.
Yes, it's so true. And I just spoke with Richard Grannon on my podcast about this, and he said something when I was like, whoa, a mass school shooter's mom will still love him. She will be heartbroken. She will be so sad. She will live the rest of her life feeling guilty, but she will still love her son. And that really describes what motherhood is. And when you have that power of being able to unconditionally love another human to that point, it's the biggest weapon to, if you use it wisely, to change yourself. If you really want to be the best mom you could possibly be, you use that unconditional love to make you stronger and make you the best version of yourself. The second that Callie came into my life, I was like, okay. I literally got the inspiration for this podcast. I got the inspiration for doing so many things for myself and for fixing and healing.
Mm-hmm.
So she's everything, and I highly recommend being a mother.
How old is she?
She's 3 now.
So you find out you were going to be a mom. Was there any underlying fear of, I don't want to be like my mom?
There was more yes, there was underlying fear that I was going to carry on generational trauma, because there is a karmic imprint in all of us.
Yeah.
And unless we do the work, this will always keep going on. So we have to do the work to reverse it or stop it right there and change the karmic pattern. And that was one thing that it gave me, again, Callie coming into my life. I was like, I need to change this generational trauma. I don't want to deal with her or react to her the way my mom reacted to me.
Mm. And it was just yesterday that I was like scrolling through TikTok, and I saw this quote that said, like, pain is carried through generations until someone is able to feel it. And I think that is so powerful. And do you think that you have been able to break that cycle of, you know, that pain or maybe things that were carried on in your family to be able to like be the best mom for Callie?
I hope so. And I think it's a process. I don't think you're ever done being self-aware. And I don't think you're ever done healing or, you know, like, oh, we're good. Like, I know for a fact that I'm never going to pass anything on. Different situations bring out different things in you. And because the sponge that you are, we are all our inner child. We are all kids, literally. We are all the toddler that the parent was like talking to, either consoling or screaming at. Like, we are still that person. So it's a matter of just continuing the hard work. I never put a finish line to it. I feel like I'm happy to say that I will work my ass off until the day I die on breaking that pattern, and hopefully when I'm in my grave, I haven't passed on anything. But it is hard, and it's imprinted in us. Mm-hmm. So you have to keep working. You can't just give up.
What are the main and most important values that you would want Callie to grow up with?
I think the most important thing is, right now I get scared about comparison. So I really want her to, I want to equip her with the right value for herself. If she values herself highly,
like self-value,
yes, highly value yourself, baby. I always, like, that's the biggest thing I say in my head, like, because there are so many people in our lives that will come and go. Some will make us grow and some will aid us in loving better, and some people will suck our energy and make us retire emotionally. So to be able to filter through and just understand, you need to have self-worth.
Yeah.
Like, if you see people who have a pattern of always dating narcissists or always dating people who end up cheating on them and whatever, sometimes you almost have to ask yourself the question, what is your self-worth? Why do you think that you deserve that?
Yeah, is that what you think you're worthy of?
Like, exactly. And so with now knowing that her generation is just going to have social media, like, you know, when she's 11, she might see kids, you know, on their phones. I mean, she will never have a phone at 11, but you know, I've seen it.
I love that. And I highly recommend, like, my kids are not going to have a phone until they're like 15.
Exactly. Same here.
Like, they're not going to be iPad kids. They're not going to know.
And she's not right now. And I think that's the most thing I'm trying to instill in her, because I think it's the root of everything. If you have self-worth, you won't compare yourself to the girls online. If you have self-worth, you won't date partners that are going to ruin your life. If you have self-worth, you will strive for what you dream about because you know that you're worth getting that.
Can you kind of define self-worth, or like, yeah, kind of explain?
Thinking highly of yourself in a way where you know that you're a light and you deserve bright light and you deserve good energy, and being able to almost pick yourself up when you're down and not rely on anyone else, because you're strong, your inner voice is strong.
Mm-hmm.
And powerful. And it tells you that you're strong and powerful. Mm-hmm. And even on your lowest moments, you know that you are worth what you're striving for. I think that's self-worth.
Have you struggled with comparison yourself?
I struggled with comparison in the very, very beginning when I was modeling. It was impossible not to compare.
And you're beautiful too.
Thank you.
You're gorgeous.
Not what Hollywood thinks and not what LA thinks. And I think that even the most stunning model out there will feel so insecure because there will be somebody more stunning than her. Sure enough, you will learn, when we will all learn, that that means nothing. It's literally about what you feel about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I don't like the modeling industry. And I hope that Callie never wants to be a model, because you are literally being judged on what you look like. Nobody cares who you are on the inside.
Yeah.
So comparison wise,
and it's put a put a value on your beauty.
Yeah, exactly. Now that I've grown, I am proud to say that I don't compare myself to women. I like to collaborate with women. If they don't want to collaborate with me, that's fine. No problem. We will go our own. We'll dance our different dances.
Yeah.
But I love to collaborate with women and empower women, and hopefully they feel the same. It's not my fault if they don't. You know, mm-hmm. But I'm not going to compare myself to anybody else.
Hmm.
It is literally a death sentence.
Where do you think what is the root of comparison? Because I feel like the root of comparison is this underlying fear of, if they do well, I can't do well.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the mentality of a lot of people, is that if they do good, that means I'm not doing good. Or if they do good, that means I can't do good. So would you think that's the root of, like, what's the root of?
That comes from low self-worth.
Yeah.
Because why are you comparing anyway? You are not happy with yourself. You're not. When you don't validate yourself and you look for validation somewhere else, you're already setting yourself up for failure. You already know you're going to be miserable. You have to validate yourself. For example, your podcast is amazing. I listen to it. And I'm like, imagine, like, how many podcasts are out there? Like, millions, right? Focus on you. Do your podcast well. And then me is a fan, you know, I'm going to listen and I'm going to be like, this is a great podcast. Now I can listen to this podcast as well. It doesn't mean that my ears only belong to you, but there's enough out there for everybody. So there's no reason to feel like there's this, like, scarcity complex, you know? And again, self-worth. I think women who collaborate are moving the world forward. And women who compete are going to end up last, because they're going to end up miserable no matter what. There's always going to look like that someone else is doing better than you.
Yeah. And maybe they are. And that doesn't take away the fact that you're doing good.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, someone doing good doesn't mean you're doing bad.
Yeah. Everybody's on their own journey. Yeah,
exactly. So you suffered from comparison, because it really is like an illness. It really, like, eats you up while you were modeling. How did you work through it? Did you have to, like, leave the modeling industry, or did you work through it while you were being a model, or how did you navigate your comparison journey?
I wasn't equipped with the maturity or the emotional intelligence to know what to do, but I only learned to know what to do when I hit rock bottom.
Okay.
When I realized that I was miserable, I was too skinny, I was eating so unhealthy, my hair was falling out. I was just trying to make every event so I can be seen. Like, I realized that I was in a rat race that had no finish line. And I think the rock bottom is always what makes us wake up. And then I woke up and I was like, why am I doing this? Actually, the only reason I was modeling is because I was seeking validation from others. If people liked my picture, or people followed me, or people just said, oh, you're pretty, whatever, I was getting validation from that. That validation would probably last 0.5 seconds. And so that was an inwards problem. And I was young. I was like 21. I'm 33 now. So it took me a while. But then as soon as I removed myself from it, I was like, oh, I didn't need that. And I moved to starting my own business. And from then on, it was self-validation.
Yeah. You kind of like force, like starting a business, you have to give yourself validation, because if you don't, then nobody's going to, you can't convince yourself to like something you don't like, you know?
Absolutely. So, yeah.
Where are you now? Like mentally, spiritually, how's your heart? Like, would you say that you're in a place where you're at peace?
Yeah, I think I am at peace because for the first time I'm prioritizing myself. I'm building boundaries that are necessary to protect, psychological boundaries to protect myself. Mm. I'm saying yes less and saying no more.
Yeah.
I'm not just people pleasing so that I can be surrounded by more people. Like I used to be like, oh, that person's a friend. I've known them for 10 years. Maybe I will just let them, you know, walk all over me. It's okay. There's history. No, I've built boundaries now where I do feel like I can easily just sit with myself in the car and be like, I am so happy that I'm not letting anybody eat my eat energy out of my day. So I do feel at peace. And I think it takes that amount of peace to be able to go to Topanga Canyon and stay in an Airbnb for 3 days. People might think it's crazy, but it's not.
What is happiness to you?
I could talk about this subject until I go blue in the face. Mm-hmm. But I think happiness, if happiness is a destination, you're never going to be happy. I think happiness is a direction. And I think it's also important to identify what unhappiness is to you. Why do you feel like you are not happy? Are you relying your happiness on something that you're going to attain, something materialistic, even a promotion, anything? If you set yourself up for something like that's a contingency, you're never going to be happy. Happiness is about being empowered in the very moment and not just chasing the feeling. Hmm. So, for example, if you just literally just count your blessings, if you are working towards a purpose, you have meaning in your life, you have healthy children, you have a healthy partner, even if you're having issues with your partner, even if you have issues with your children, in the end, we have to go back to the basics, because I feel like we don't feel happy because we are looking outwards, not inwards.
Yeah.
And being happy is not living in the past and thinking, I wish that didn't happen. And it's also not looking in the future and being like, I wish that could happen. Mm-hmm. It's being in the very moment and understanding what you're surrounded by at the very moment and being present in that moment and feeling like you have meaning and you're grateful. Mm. And that's super important. I used to live in, I was like the classic live in the past lady.
Yeah. And that just brings anxiety, so much anxiety and so much depression of like, I could have.
The could have is the biggest, it's like a gun to the head, because you cannot do anything about the past. You cannot control the future. You cannot do anything about the past. So where
really is the heaviest like backpack?
Exactly. So where should you live? Probably the present, because it's here and you do have control over what you do today.
Hmm. Before I close off and jump into our last question, I want to give you a little gift.
Yay!
I love gifts. A clothing brand. And before I give it to you, it's called No Name Project. It's not I Missed Me Project because it's under the podcast. But the whole purpose of my brand, and you'll read the message behind the hoodie, is that we're all strangers healing together. And 40 minutes ago, I didn't know you. And now I feel like we just had the most deep conversation where we like realized that we have things in common. And it was just such a healing conversation. And that is kind of just like my purpose of the podcast, is to let everyone know that whatever it is that you're going through, even if we don't know each other, we're connected. So
this is for you. Oh, and honestly, I celebrate you. What you're doing is incredible. And I love your podcast because it is really, you can tell that it's genuine when you are talking. Like even when I heard one of your podcasts and you're like, I've been away. I needed to take some time to myself. And I love that when you're just so upfront and personal. I commend you.
Thank you so much.
Don't ever stop.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to put this on.
Yeah, please. No, put it on. Because I want you to answer the last question with it on.
Okay.
Oh, my God. So.
Yeah, here we go.
Jumping into our last
question. Oh, now I'm wearing blue and brown.
It's okay.
There we go.
Jumping into our last question, I want to ask you something that I ask everybody that comes and I Missed Me, and that is, what does healing mean to you?
Healing is not the sense of what the word actually means literally, because you cannot erase wounds. You can scar, but you still know that the wound was there. Mm-hmm. So healing is about growing and being able to evolve past with what happened to you didn't happen to you. It happened for you. And being able to understand that that is an advantage for you to change and reprogram the way that you are and help others. Mm. Giving forgiveness to others is healing. Mm. I would say healing is the opposite of hurting, because hurt people hurt people.
Yeah.
And people who have healed or are in their healing journey can help others, like us. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all healing from something. So if you use it for your own power and to spread positivity and knowledge to others, that's healing, rather than bringing everybody down and taking a victim play for the rest of your life. Like, it's just, I think it's the thing that we should all strive for.
You have 12-year-old Nyla in front of you. What would you say? Biggest advice you would give to 12-year-old Nyla and a stranger that is going through the same things that you went through?
It's okay. I would say it's okay. It's okay to feel alone. It's okay to be scared. It's okay to feel like all those negative feelings, but just use it. And use it to your own power and your own strength. And keep going. Never stop. In the end, it's what you do for you that matters. And everything that you're seeking is already inside of you.
Hmm. Thank you so much for this conversation and for
welcome.
Being here for
Thank
your time.
You.
Thank you guys so much for watching. Where can people find you?
I host a podcast called Untempered, or you can follow me on Instagram at Nyla.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Don't forget to follow me on social media. Mafia Ansur is everywhere. Don't forget to listen to I Missed Me. Follow I Missed Me everywhere. And I have a clothing brand, nonameproject.co, to go get your hoodie.
Super soft.
And don't forget that we're all strangers healing together. I love you guys, and I will see you guys on our next episode. With love, Mafia.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.